Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're doing 10 shots of Hollywood. We'll explain when we get there. Let's get on with the show. Aaron Peterson, joining me today, I'm my fellow host, Troy Hendricks.
I'd rather be doing 10 shots of something else.
Me too. Amanda Sink?
Not I. Hello, hello.
Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com on your social media channels, and please rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. We're going to try to have fun this episode. We had, Oscars, and then we had South by Southwest, so it's a lot of movie talk. So now we're just going to kind of randomly go all over the place. You don't know where we're going to go. It's like a shell game. But we're calling it 10 shots of the Hollywood, or the Hollywood Outsider, if it were.
So what are the drinking rules for listeners not driving?
Well, make sure your hand's free. Make sure you're at home, comfortably and safe. I mean, it's just 10 different topics or games is what it means. But if you want to do a shot each one, have at it. Be very safe.
Yeah, it sounds like the drink is, I have an idea. They take a shot every time they agree with one of us in these 10 questions?
I feel like if they're regular listeners, that would be unfair to their liver, because I would think that they would probably agree with at least one of us often if they listen, unless they just tune in to be raged. I don't know, just like tune in to start yelling at somebody. Arr, I hate this.
Well, I'm just trying to think of fun rules, okay?
As someone who's been diagnosed with a fatty liver, I don't want to cause any liver problems for anybody.
Oh, you got a fatty liver?
I do.
Do you want to do a GoFundMe or something? Everybody else does.
Sure. I'd love that.
You should just go in there. I got a fatty liver and all I need is money to get healthier food or something and get $60,000.
You need $500 a month to afford a GLP-1 shot if the insurance doesn't cover it.
Oof.
Welcome to America.
Is that how much it costs you?
If without insurance.
Isn't that the weight loss shot?
Yeah. It, some of them are weight loss shots. Some of them do specific things. So the one I'm on specifically helps reverse the effects of fatty liver. The weight loss is a side effect benefit.
So, you know, think NBC. The more you know. Pretend there's stars in the air. What is there danger with having a fatty liver? Or is it just like, you know, there's more to love.
Well, eventually it'll go necrotic and eventually need a liver transplant.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a big deal.
But
yeah.
You can reverse it?
You can reverse it with diet, exercise, proper food eating.
Flip it and reverse it?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, don't forget to back it up.
I'm sorry, we shouldn't make fun of your illness. That just sounds terrible. But
you said we were going to have fun this episode.
We have
to keep it lighthearted and also let Troy know that we love him and
it's his
he can't
fault.
Die.
Also, I have 90 days to live. Welcome.
Way to try to take the stage, Aaron.
Sorry. It's all about me.
Sounds like a movie title.
It's all about me?
No, 90 days to live.
I'm sure it should be. Yeah, it should be. I would watch it. It's called Crank. All right. So let's try this. So we're basically what we're going to do. So welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, where we dive into movies and TV from the outsider's perspective. Ha 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 ha. And today we're going to throw that structure out the window. The 10 shots of Hollywood means we're going to do like 10 rapid fire topics, debates, games, whatever, and just kind of see where it all lands. I think we did a March Madness game in early March. I really thought that was a lot of fun. And then we got overwhelmed with schedules because my God, with South By and Oscars and I've been rebuilding my bathroom for the last month and a half. I haven't had any free time, honestly. But it's cool to just get back and talk about movies and TV again. I love it. So you guys ready to start?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Both of you said that just weird. He said it.
He said it weird, so I had to say it
Troy
weird.
Troy said it like he's at the Walmart. Let's do it, guys. Get on board. And you said it like, hey, so welcome to my OnlyFans.
Well, that's because Let's Fucking Go has been so overused since the movie came
LFG.
Out. So.
That's true. LFG is kind of abused. I even use it too much. I'll be like, LFG! Exclamation point, and I say the exclamation point out loud. It's weird.
And then people judge you for that.
They say, old man, get in your lane. All right, so take
a shot if you also have that experience.
Of being an old man?
Yeah, I guess. I'm just going to say this randomly when it's time for you to take a shot if you're not driving.
The shots does not actually reference alcohol. And now I feel bad about even wanting to drink if fatty liver over here, you know?
Wait, can you not drink? Are you not allowed to drink now?
I mean, that's the thing. I've never been considered like a drinker. Like, I've never been a big drinker. So the fact that I have this thing, it's like, great. Thanks, mom. Thanks, dad.
Glad I didn't get it.
I mean, honestly, if it's already happening... And they said you can reverse it, so you're fine.
It'll be fine.
Just start drinking.
What kind of doctor advice is this?
He's on a reverse program. Listen,
don't tell people it's going to be okay, otherwise my GoFundMe chances go way down.
I know. And by the way, I just love her medical advice. Don't worry, you'll be fine. Just walk it off.
Well, he said it can be reversed, so I'm like, add in the alcohol. God.
All right. Take your favorite books or a book series, whatever. Would you or are you... Okay, would you be okay with them changing aspects of the character? Or if
did you say the intro to the topic?
Yes, I did that like a while ago. Have you been?
I forgot you even said it. It's been so long.
So we got fatty liver, we got dementia. I don't know what I have yet.
Injuries. God.
Okay, would you or are you okay with them changing aspects of the character if it works on the screen? And for example, Scarpetta is a recent example. That show came out. I'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show. But fans of the books have been very frustrated about how the characters portrayed. Nicole Kidman's portrayal, both her being cast as it, they don't see her in the part, and also just that it's not the Scarpetta they love from the books. But if you're not a fan of the books, like me, you might never notice, because I didn't. So I was able to watch the show on its own. So who's right?
I mean, I think it just depends on the story, because there are certain stories that you change the characters, it fundamentally ruins things. Like if Peter Jackson would have completely had Frodo be a totally different character, or Sam be a totally different character, or Aragorn being a totally different character, like it would not have gone well, right? There are just certain motions, motifs, things that you feel when you read a story that you expect to feel almost similarly when you go to watch the movie, right? But on the other hand, like I wanted to stay on that side of the coin. And then I remembered that there was a change to a book that I had read that I did watch the TV show for. And I actually liked the TV show that much better because of the changes they made to the character and how they showed up in the show.
How's that?
And the one that I had in mind, for example, was Station 11. So there's a character named Jeevan, and Jeevan finds Kristen. She's the other kind of protagonist in the TV show and in the book. And both of them start out the same way. Jeevan finds Kristen on the outbreak virus day after an accident happens at a theater, at a play. So that part stays the same. But eventually in the book, Jeevan hands her off to her person that's supposed to get her back home, and Jeevan disappears and goes his own path. Kristen goes her own path. Neither the two shall meet again. Okay. Right. But in the TV show, Jeevan specifically stays with Kristen for 80 days after the first day. And they build this kind of brother, sister, father, daughter type dynamic so that as the show goes along, all you want as a TV viewer is for them to get back together again sometime in the future when they do bump into each other.
Not in a romantic way, right? Because you
not in a romantic no, not in a romantic
father, daughter, way. Brother, sister. I'm like, what kind
not
of
not in a romantic way? You just want them to
the
be
station
like,
at West Virginia?
No, around okay. The Great Lakes area, actually.
All right.
So I won't give it away whether they get together or not. But like the fact that they have this change in Jeevan's character to be this more important role in Kirsten's life, it actually takes their characters in completely different directions. They make it more hopeful at the end of the day. And so I really liked the change from the book. So I think the answer to the question is it depends.
Well, yeah, it obviously depends. And also, my apologies to West Virginia. It was a joke.
Although in the book, I do think he goes to like West Virginia or Virginia to become a doctor.
Now it's making sense. Less funny, more ha ha ha. It's just true. Amanda, what about you? I mean, is there a book series or anything that you're particularly a fan of that you don't like changes? You do change? Like, where are you at on this?
I think it always depends on what my relationship to the original content is, right? I think if you're really deeply attached to something, you're more likely to be resistant to the change because you want things to be as identical as possible because that's what got you emotionally connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say there are still times where I do enjoy seeing it a little bit different. There's two things that come to mind is one, Perks of Being a Wallflower. I absolutely love the book. And I felt like the film adaptation was done really well, even though there were some changes to like what relationships you have on screen, some of the character decisions, if you will, that happen. And then 13 Reasons Why, there's some more drastic changes that happen, but it's still something that I feel had the core of the message that was still retained. And so I think it really just depends on what things translate over and what things are omitted.
What I think overall is you got to pay attention to what the book readers loved about the character. I mean, or characters or story or whatever. And that's what I think is the most important part. I think you can make story changes. You can, you know, alter elements of a story, alter elements of a story point. And even maybe modify characters and, you know, anything that isn't important, then, you know, change it. Like, I don't think race matters to Severus Snape. I just don't. So I don't think that's something worth arguing about. But there are other aspects of Harry Potter and that kind of world where I think that's, you know, there's reasonable debates about different changes and aspects they might want to look at changing. You know, I always go to Reacher because that's my favorite book series. And I'm not going to just go down Reacher's path again. But it's a prime example because I like the movies. And I love the show, but the movies don't feel like Jack Reacher at me. They feel like a Tom Cruise movie, and it just works because, you know, I like Tom Cruise for the most part. I don't want to hang out with him on the weekends, but as an actor in an action movie, he's fun to watch. Always. He's always trying to entertain. The guy, you know, just works there. But then you have the actual show, and it brings a character to life that I know very well. And you can tell, like, what's on the page matters. The fact that he's 6'5", the fact that, you know, he has a hulking frame, the fact that he's imposing when he walks in a room. That's important to the character. And Tom Cruise, as lovely as he is in his performances, is never going to be that. And I think that's been, you know, talked about ad nauseum. But you can make big changes. Mist is another one I can refer to. You know, they changed the ending quite a bit, and it still works as a movie. Even though they're going to remake it now, and I don't know why, just let it be, but whatever. And then you could look at things like It, you know, It. I'm not talking about the movies, I'm talking about the TV series, where they have specific areas of that series that were referenced in the novel, like time periods, and now they're going to go back to those time periods and build it out. So now they're taking what more of a theme or an atmosphere from the book and trying to recreate it, and I don't think... I know I'm in the minority, but I don't think the series does a very good job of that personally until maybe the last two episodes. I think it's really lost for most of the show, but a lot of that has to do with the over-reliance on crappy CGI personally. So, I mean, I'm just all that to say, I think any of them can work, but you got to remember what fans love about the story that you're recreating or why are you doing it? You know, the Mist isn't about the ending, even though the book has a very ambiguous ending. And the movie has a very climactic, horrible ending. But the endings don't matter. It's a story being told. It's a story about being human and what do humans do when there's a dire struggle. They come against each other. Same case that is made in Walking Dead and so many apocalyptic shows and movies throughout time. That's what matters most. And, you know, if it's a very specific character like Scarpetta, you know, she's a very specific character that's been in dozens and dozens of books and millions of people have read that character's lives. You should be trying to adhere to the character that they know and love. Like, that's just what's right if you're a fan. Like, that's why you're even having this conversation, is because there's so many fans. And I you know, it matters. So you just got to remember what people loved about it. You can expand, you can move things around, you can mess things up. You know, Housemaid is another example. They did some changes and they work for the purpose of the book and for the purpose of the movie. You just got to remember the fans to begin with, why they loved it, why you're even here. And as long as they can remember that, I think you're good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, now we're going to go to keep one, kill one, or kill one, keep one. I don't care which way you word it. But this is where we're going to pick two similar actors or movies or TV shows or whatever. And we have to decide which one gets put down, which means you never get to see it again because the dead. Not the person. The people always live. Okay, this is fictional. and which one lives to fight another day? So, for example, we're going to start, right? James Bond. A lot of famous guys have played James Bond. But we're going to pick two. We're going to pick original and new recipe. So you've got Sean Connery and Daniel Craig. Both have a great plethora of films under their belt as James Bond. Who is your keep? Who is your kill?
I'm just glad you said new recipe and not special sauce. It's a tough one because Daniel did a great job, but there's just something so cool and smooth about Sean Connery in the role, especially with the accent. Rawr. Yeah, I'd keep Sean Connery, kill Daniel Craig.
I'm going to keep Daniel Craig.
I wonder if this is a generational. Is this a generational thing? Why are you going to do it, though? Are you doing it just to be like Troy and just be different?
Yeah, that's exactly why. No, because Daniel Craig is very post-2000s, and my pre-2000s James Bond is not Sean Connery, so then I feel like I'm betraying, you know, the best Bond there ever were. Daniel Craig, I think, is a good mix, though, because he has charisma and he has charm and he's super cool and suave. But I also like that with him, yes, he loves women, but women are flocking to him. They're just gravitating to him. It doesn't feel very forced, like he's obviously into it. Mm-hmm. But I think it just makes him seem even cooler.
Well, I just want to tell you, that's all James
Bond. Pierce not Brosnan, though.
He's better? Is that your favorite?
Yeah, okay. I have to say.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Dude,
he was a hottie.
I'm not saying he wasn't a hottie. Really? I'm just saying from a James Bond perspective.
Well, being hot is part of being James Bond.
I think he was an excellent James Bond. Come on.
He was good.
He
was a Daniel Craig or Sean Connery, though.
They're playing it completely different. He's definitely going for the cheese. I think if you put him in a modern movie, I mean, he's even aged well. He could probably pop up as an aged James Bond right now. Grizzled vet, if you will. This is easy. They kill Daniel Craig in the movie, so just keep killing him. I don't think he comes close to Sean Connery. he does it very different. He's always got those pursed lips. And, you know, that's great for him, and I love Daniel Craig, and I love him as Foghorn Leghorn and Knives Out. That's even better. But I've never bought the charm as much from, like, what you're talking about, Amanda. I've never seen that make sense to me. Sean Connery, I understand why ladies were throwing themselves at him. I didn't understand it with Daniel Craig.
I think it's just the confidence. The confidence that he seems uninterested to a degree. Like, he's not going to chase you.
Look, the difference is that Daniel Craig, the women were dropping their panties for Daniel Craig. Sean Connery, the panties never existed. They just disappear into thin air.
What?
Love that.
Just happened there. I don't know what that even means. Did he have some kind of ray gun that, like, disintegrated him? Like, what do you mean they just disappeared? I don't even understand that. Anyway, I'm going to move on because I'm strangely uncomfortable. So Hugh Jackman's Wolverine or Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool?
Deadpool, I'm keeping.
And killing Wolverine?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be the first time.
For either of them, really.
Very true.
Okay.
Joy, are we specifying which Hugh Jackman's Wolverine?
Just, it's the same character. I mean, I guess you could go with Samantha. Just shut up. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine versus Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool.
I'll still keep Hugh Jackman's Wolverine over Deadpool.
I am surprisingly going with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine as well.
You do love Hugh Jackman, though.
I do love the.
You have like a man crush on him, and it's okay.
I mean, who wouldn't? Really?
Agreed. Agreed.
Guy looks fantastic for any age.
Also, how many of these were we supposed to prepare? Because you're on number two.
I have three. You guys do whatever you want, like one or two. I had three ready so that you understood, so I didn't have to explain it. I just personally think, like, if you go through, I just think throughout that course of films, no matter which one you watch, Hugh Jackman's always the guy giving it more than everybody else on film. Like, he puts more into that role than I think any comic book actor I think ever has. And
I'd agree.
Yeah, I mean, even in Deadpool versus Wolverine, and I love Deadpool. Like, Deadpool, one of my favorite comic book characters, second only to Spider-Man. And when Hugh Jackman has that thing where he's just yelling at Deadpool, that just blows Deadpool out of the water, you know, just blows him out of the water. Sorry, Ryan Reynolds, but you can tell jokes. You don't have the depth that Mr. Jackman does.
Even in the shitty Wolverine movies, Hugh Jackman's still better.
It's true. That's what I'm saying. Any one of those movies, he's always giving it his all. All right. My last one is Steven Spielberg or Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino.
Think of that body of work, though. Think of that body of work, man. Spielberg, you know, E.T., Raiders, da-da-da-da, you got. And Tarantino's got all these.
I don't rewatch Spielberg movies nearly as much as I do Tarantino movies.
Okay.
It's an age thing again, I think.
It could be. Sure.
Well, no, because I really grew up on a lot of Spielberg movies. And I have a lot of love and respect for him. And I love the movies that are in his portfolio. But it's just Tarantino films, I guess, are, for me, I'm going to put them on more often than I would a Spielberg movie.
Now, can I ask you a serious question, Amanda?
Mm-hmm.
Would it change your opinion if instead of, ouch, E.T. said, ow, motherfucker!
Why do we not have a Tarantino version of this?
Oh, that would be great. My just fucking spaceship just landed. God damn it.
I'm good sure. Old Sam Jackson.
Who the fuck is Elliot?
There's an AI app out there that can make that happen, I'm sure.
Why is your weird motherfucking sister in your bedroom all the time? This is weird.
I mean, for me,
sorry, Mom.
Quentin Tarantino loves killing people, so let's just give Quentin Tarantino what he wants, insta-death, and go with Spielberg.
Well, this one was for me to be given the hardest of choices because these are two of my favorites. And I will tell you, I would probably have to kill Tarantino.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Raiders. I can't give up Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's the one thing where you're like, I can't do it, huh?
Can't give up Indiana Jones. It's like I wouldn't even be the same person if it didn't exist.
But he's only like part of Indiana Jones. Like Lucas is still involved in that. It's not like it's just Spielberg.
Fair enough. But it's enough of Spielberg that I wouldn't want to give that up.
It's too much risk.
I can't risk it. Plus Jaws, I've come to
give you up.
The fact that Jaws is so good and he kind of like did that movie on the fly without any real like prep and thought and stuff and just was crazy that actually was accomplished.
I think it's stellar how he has so many perfect or near perfect movies, and that's just something to marvel at.
Well, I guess we'll see come June.
And plus, look, I'm going to be honest, but like Tarantino, I love as a director. I'm starting to really get sick of him as a person. You know, I mean, just stop being a dick all the time. Be nice. It's okay. Be nice. You don't need to, even though I don't like Paul Dano, you don't have to poop on him in front of the world. I tell you. And I even agree with this assessment. That's the sad part. All right, Troy, it's your turn.
I spend more time talking about Glenn Powell and the new Running Man than I thought I ever would have in the last 6 months or so. And so I'm posing to the crew, old Running Man, Schwarzenegger, versus new Running Man, Glenn Powell.
Wouldn't that be Running Man versus Ran Man?
Sure.
Ba-dum-bum. Huh? Huh? You could send donations for these
Such
jokes
a dork.
To GoFundMe at Troy Heinrichs, fattyliver.com.
Well, how do I do this if I haven't seen the new Running Man?
Oh, that's an excellent problem. Yeah. I guess
I'm going to just have to go with
Arnold.
You could choose
between Powell and Schwarzenegger then.
Mm. Ooh, that's a different choice.
That's a very different choice.
Hmm.
I would go for Arnold for machismo because he is very masculine and so much more like quote unquote traditional masculine.
Roided up, I think is the term.
Roided up, yep.
Yeah.
But I do not find bodybuilder bodies attractive.
Sure.
So like if we're comparing Arnold to Glenn, he's just not as scary as Arnold. But I do feel like he can probably run faster because he doesn't have as much muscle to look.
That's a really excellent point. If you're talking about in terms of just running men, he's definitely running faster. So if you've never seen the movie, man, that's how I'd rate it. I'd go by like, how fast can they run, man?
How fast can you go?
Okay, so you're doing Powell. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't get to choose, I feel like.
You can abstain.
Yeah, I'm going to abstain.
I have seen both. I don't like the ending for Glenn Powell's Running Man. I really don't. I feel like, and I had a problem with kind of how they staged it. I feel like there's nothing he really accomplishes because everybody's bailing him out at the last second in that movie. You know what I mean? Like, he was constantly being bailed out in that movie. And not like, hey, no, man, the people are with you.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. And it was just, so I probably go with Arnold. Plus, Richard Dawson as a jackass, that was pretty, that was peak.
Yeah, Coleman Domingo is really good, though.
I just, you know what? Richard Dawson always seemed like the guy on Family Feud. Whenever I watched Family Feud, he seemed like the guy from Running Man. I mean, he's always kissing people that didn't ask for it. It's just weird. So, yep, I'm going the old.
I mean, my challenge with this one was that I thoroughly enjoyed the new Running Man movie, like you said, up until the very end. And then I was kind of like, man, this was so close, so close.
Wasn't it a cop-out at the end?
It was.
Yeah, I am like...
But at the same time, the rest of the movie is so much better about the world and why things are happening the way it is than the first one ever was. And so, like...
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
For 90% sticking to the source material from the first question from earlier, like, I would give it to New Running Man over Old Running Man.
Well, for anyone that's never seen the Old Running Man, it is not close to the source material.
At all.
At all. It's not very close at all. It's let's make Arnold an action hero for no reason. And in that scenario. And he was. I mean, he was pretty kick ass in the movie. But in terms of close to Stephen King's story, then it'd be the newer one, sure.
Yeah. The other one I thought of was because I like think of these actors and I always think of them kind of in the same boat. Like they visually in my brain for some reason meld into kind of the same person, same type of serious yet funny yet quirky. And I was just curious if you prefer Peter Stormare over David Harbour.
That's interesting.
Actually, yes.
Yes, you do prefer one over the other?
I prefer Peter Stormare over David Harbour.
Is this because of the divorce?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, he got divorced, and his wife's a singer, and apparently she made a whole album about how awful he was as a husband or something. Yeah.
True story. I had no idea. I still thought he was like this gem that everyone thought he was.
I don't take X's words on anything, you know, unless it was it's an abuse thing, then maybe that's a different conversation. But
Peter Stormare, I feel like, just has so much range, and I feel like he can go into the depths of evil that David Harbour could never. Maybe because he is too pure, who knows? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just feel like if I know Peter Stormare, granted, if I see either of them in something, I want to watch it. But maybe it's just because I've had more longevity with Peter Stormare. I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, Prison Break, man. Just great, great season.
Enough said.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love both of these people, but I'm going to do old Lily Allen a favor. I'm going to take out David Harbour. That's a joke. That's the ex-wife. So gotta explain it for those that don't know who that is. But no, I think Peter Stormare is just, I mean, I'll be honest, man. He is the weirdest dude ever. And he's very, very likable and affable in interviews and stuff, but he is so weird in movies and uncomfortable and creepy and a great Satan. If you've ever seen Constantine, great Satan or Lucifer, if you will. And I also 9mm. Oh my God. What a douchebag. And he's so good at playing a sleazeball. And yeah, I just kind of love him. Harbour, I think, is coming into his own. And maybe if you ask me in 5 years, I'll have a different assessment. But I don't think Kick-Ass Santa and Stranger Things is enough to take on Satan.
See, and I love Peter so much. But man, David Harbour's kind of won me over with DTF on HBO.
That's like a kink shame kind of show. Of course you like it. What? I haven't watched that one yet.
It's actually a murder mystery.
I know you talked about it. You talked about it a couple episodes ago. I remember you talking about it pretty. I'm going to watch it when it's all out.
It is a murder mystery. So like David's been really great in that. And I just, he speaks to me in that show for some reason. So yeah, I had to give it to David, unfortunately.
Okay. You don't say unfortunately. You're not really going to hurt them.
Listen, Peter, I'll make sure your ashes go to the Russian space station.
The Russian space station.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. So for my turn, I have the first posed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Raylan from Justified versus Jack from Jack Reacher.
No. I'm not playing this game. This game's broken. I don't like this game anymore. This game is stupid.
Which one are you going with?
Which Jack from Jack Reacher book? Alan or...
Oh, that's a good point.
Cruz.
Or does it matter? You're just going character.
I don't care.
Well, I guess show would be comparable.
I was going with the show, like comparing the two shows. But
the two TV shows, since Justified was a TV show.
Yes, exactly.
God, I love Justified so much. I love Reacher so much.
Because at first I had Mission Impossible versus Jack Reacher, and then I was like, wait a second, I need show for show.
That's done. I'll tell you that one real quick. Troy, you go. Come back to me. I need to think.
Ooh. I didn't expect this one to be that tough. I love this.
For me, it is.
For me, I'd get rid of Jack only because Alan's just been like two in the face all the time lately. So I just, it's just,
only if
it's just,
you're his neighbor.
It's just too much.
Kidding. He was redeemed. He was. No charges were filed.
Acquitted of all charges, man. That's right.
Big dude, wear a body cam.
Self-defense. Yep. Also, yeah, don't be dumb. Like, there was a moment where he said, are you dumb or are you stupid or something like that?
If you don't know,
I'm like, that's what all of us are thinking.
If you don't know what we're talking about, his Alan Ritchson's neighbor accosted him. Go to TMZ. You can find all the footage. I'm not going to get into it here. But yeah, he was acquitted of all charges. And that boy, that neighbor is, I'm sure, pissed that he was wearing a body cam because covered his ass.
Well, when you look at the video footage from inside the house, it doesn't look like Alan Ritchson is that nice of a guy. It looks like he's just unfairly pummeling someone. Then you look at the body cam and you see, this dude was in the middle of the street.
Jumped out in front of his motorcycle and just like almost made him crash. He made him put the bike down. Yeah.
Yep.
And he's like, well, he's going too fast. If you see, you can see the speedometer. He's going like 23 miles an hour.
It was,
my God.
Good old Alan. All right. So you're going with who, Troy?
Raylan.
Okay. And Aaron?
I mean, it probably, I'm sorry,
it's your boy,
Raylan.
Blue?
No, it's got to be. It's Jack Reacher. Because I've got a lot of history with the books. And
are you talking character or are you talking the shows?
Well, if you're talking just show, I'd probably say Justified. But you said, well, I guess you've got it. Well, which way? Because in the format.
I had said it as Raylan from Justified versus Jack from Jack Reacher from the shows.
If you want it to be the shows, it's a different conversation. So you
give the show versus the non-show. Let's just,
Oh, you want both answers. Okay.
Let's just hear it.
Character would be Jack Reacher because I have so much invested in the character as a whole from books and everything else. And I just love the character, especially like in the books, they go into a lot more detail about him, obviously. And show by show, show to show, Justified is just a phenomenal show top to bottom. So, and I don't count Primeval because it kind of ruined the legacy a little bit. I really, really love all six seasons of Justified.
All right. I go with keeping Raylan.
There you go. That's fine.
That's fine. All right. Here's my next one. This is the only other one I have.
Okay.
It's picking between two lookalikes, Amy Adams or
Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher.
I have to kill one of these people?
Well, not literally.
Can I fake one of their deaths?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Keep them alive. I'm going to... I mean, Amy Adams has a pretty phenomenal body of work. But these are the people, not the characters. So I'm taking Isla Fisher because she is a doll. I am smitten. Every time I see her in an interview, I am smitten. So, yep. Yeah. Sorry, Amy.
I mean, I love Fisher. But Amy Adams takes a cake.
But you love Amy Adams.
No, I'm just saying anybody that does Night Bitch, like that's an instant win right there to be able to pull that off.
Fair. I think if we're looking at the body of work itself from the two actors, I would say Amy Adams. If we're talking about which actress I would rather watch just because of like their personality and all of that, it's going to be Isla.
I wouldn't even go that way for me.
Amy all around for you.
You like the Amy. You're enchanted, if you were. So trailers. Do they matter anymore? Do they convince you of what to see or in the age of information? Do you already know enough to make that call? And I think that's important because we have some people listen to the show that say they never watch trailers. I'm like, in this world of information, how do you not know at least something about these things? But I think Kyle Nolan has been on many times. He said he doesn't know about a lot of stuff. I don't know how that's possible unless you're just not reading up on it, I guess. But do trailers work for you? Like, do you actually watch trailers and go, you know what? I wasn't going to see a thing and now I'm going to see a thing. Or do you already know you're going to see it long before you ever see a trailer?
I think for me, it's a matter of if it's an established known property / director / lead actor, then I probably don't need the trailer, but I need at least the teaser. So I do not need the full 2.5 minutes. I'll never see it in a social media post / television commercial, right? I have to go to YouTube or in the theater to see the full trailer. So I don't believe I need the trailer anymore, but I at least need a teaser to know that it's coming out and when, and to get some excitement for it.
For me, I do not need the trailer. I often do not want the trailer anymore because I feel like trailers are just giving us the entire synopsis of the film in little segments. Oh, and so true, yeah. I don't need that.
Except when they don't, because they lie.
Because they're liars. Yeah, I'm good without it. Now, to Troy's point, there are times where I do like a good teaser.
Yeah, I do like a good teaser too. I what's funny is that used to be, and I think you guys know this, it used to be my favorite part of going to the movies was getting the trailers. And then they decided to make it a full half hour. So I'm not going to sit through a half hour of trailers. So now I don't even get there until right before the movie starts, which is sad. You know, I only get there and I see Nicole Kidman again because she's literally in everything, including my freaking AMC. So
we had this discussion actually at the theater the other day. Do you feel like all the stuff that AMC puts at the end right before the movie, that's the stuff that should be in the front? Because when you show me the Coke commercial, yeah, I still have time to get the Coke.
I don't know why they do that.
Show me Nicole Kidman, it's like Nicole Kidman welcoming me into the theater, and then I can watch the trailers.
Well, the Nicole Kidman thing should be
trashed, gone.
No, well, it should. It should, but it should have always been like in at home. It should have been like going for during commercials of TV shows and whatnot, trying to encourage you to go to the theater. You're already freaking there. I don't need any re-encouragement when I'm already there. The snack thing, I've never understood that. Why is it not at the very beginning? I mean, they have a little bit at the beginning, but they have the whole full thing right before the thing starts. I'm like, so is there ever anyone who's sitting there going, oh, shit, I didn't get a popcorn and a Coke. I'm going to go right now before the movie starts.
I've seen people. I guess there are some.
Those are the same people that turn their lights on their phones and just like,
oh, like they're, you know, no, I actually saw somebody the last time I was at a movie walking up and down the aisle. They were using their phone flashlight. Yeah. And I was like, dude, the actual movie has already started.
Dude, that's the just actual staircase is already lit up.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Pay attention. Use your inside eyes.
Use your inside eyes.
Is that a thing? I have. So I'm now more conditioned to, I will watch trailers at home more than I used to. Because I always wanted to see it on a theater screen, which is always a big thing for me. I just want to see it, you know, in the way it was intended, if you will. And now I'm not going to watch 50 of them. My God. So it's too long. And I think, you know, what's funny is they do that because they're trying to pad the revenue by having like other commercials inside the trailer block. And I don't know if they realize how many people they've pushed away from watching the trailers to begin with because of that. Because now everybody just comes a half hour later.
It's also no commercials in the trailer block. The commercials are still front loaded from the trailer.
No, mine are always right in the middle. In my theater, anyway. Maybe the theaters load them differently.
Mine's very traditional. Still, you know, you sit down, they do like the last advertisements, and then it's boom, straight through. Except for maybe an M&M ad or something, or a Coke ad.
They gave me way too much time to account for being late. So now I don't even try to get there till like 20 minutes past the start of showtime. Like, because I'm not going to sit through all of those.
My wife and I decided to actually go to a 12:30 posted time show at 12:15 and arrived at 12:45 and still watched 3 trailers.
I know. Dude, it's bad.
Crazy.
It's getting bad. And that's not going to do anything to help drive people back to the theater. You know what I mean?
So, and I'm seeing the same trailers all the time. That's because we go all the time, right? Because of our AMC A-list.
Sure.
But like, I don't need to see a trailer for The Odyssey in April when it doesn't come out till July. Tell me what's coming out in April. What can I come see next week? That's what I want a trailer for.
I like the plan. I want to see the summer trailers, buddy. So,
why does it matter? We give you a summer movie preview episode every year.
That's true. We got to start working on that too, by the way. That's probably coming up pretty quick. All right. So let's move on. So trailers. I did want to say, like, I do appreciate trailers for like smaller movies or independent movies, like The Sheep's Detectives. If it wasn't for the trailer, there's no chance in hell I'd ever go watch that movie. There's zero chance.
It's nope. Said starring Hugh Jackman.
I would wait till it came home, honestly, because I just think it, by hearing it, it sounds stupid. So animated sheeps are going to go solve crimes? This is ridiculous. This is a kid's movie. I'm not going to do it. You watch the trailer and I'm like, this is everything I love. I'm going to go. So I think trailers help sometimes. All right. So what's your worst movie take? Meaning the one you know people hate. They hate it. Troy?
Mine, and not everybody feels this way. Mine is that subtitles are a way of life.
What?
Yep. I have actually wanted to go to the theater less often because partly just because I like to have subtitles.
Can I piggyback off that? I'm just curious because, you know, I'm on the board for the Beloit International Film Festival, not to brag. And we just had this conversation and I was kind of against it, but I've heard, especially younger people, probably because they watch TikTok all the time and whatnot, who would actually be for having all movies subtitled. Do you subscribe to that idea?
To have all movies like have subtitles?
In a theater for the festival, like stuff like you go to South By, would you want them subtitled?
For me personally, I would love it,
I'm
but I know
just
some people
you.
Don't like it. For me, for yes. Okay. For me, yes. I do not watch anything without subtitles when I'm at home.
How do you pay attention to what's happening on the screen?
Because my issue is that I already have hearing problems and I'm going to have genetic hearing loss, but concerts really just mess me up. But I have an issue where words will fall out from what I'm hearing. So then I'll read the word that's on there, or if I can't understand it because of the way that they articulate it or an accent or something, then I have the word there. So it's not like I'm reading every single thing. It's more like it's plugging in the missing puzzle pieces for me that usually my brain just tries to fill in, but I don't have to brain it because it's on the TV. So I like it. And it's, you know, it's the inclusion and accessibility and all of that.
It's distracting.
I understand for some people and for you, I know for you too, that it is too distracting for to be able to watch it and still feel like you're connected. For me, I've just gotten used to it because I did feel that way a little bit at first, but it just helped so much me pick up on things that even you might not even hear. And it's in because it's in the script, it's in there and you get to read it. And I'm like, ha 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 ha.
And so I have a hard time with subtitles, but I will accept a dub once in a while. And I wanted to watch that Detective Hole show, Detective Hole, if you just read it on Netflix. And because my mother recommended it, she's like, you'll love it. Da, 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 da. And well, I think it's Norwegian. So it's in a different language, but they have a dub and they have a subtitle option. And I'm like, I just don't feel like reading. I'm tired. It's been a long month and a half or whatever. So I want the dubbed version and nope, I couldn't make it. I couldn't get very far.
The dubbed, I really struggle with the dubbed because there's two things for dubbed for me. One, the words that I'm hearing do not match the lips at all. And I cannot get past it. There's something where I feel like a robot is just like short circuiting. That's how I feel my brain is when that happens. But the other thing is they'll have like, it'll be, let's just say that it were Spanish that they're speaking. And they might have somebody who's very Caucasian sounding doing this Spanish speaking voice. And I'm like, this is not at all the character that is on screen. And when you listen to their voice, it doesn't match at all. I need the voices to kind of at least the sound of them to sound similar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, except for Shogun. For whatever reason, the dubbing on Shogun was spectacular. Okay, Troy, what about you? What's your worst movie take?
My worst movie take is that Dolby Cinema, AMC Prime, whatever you want to call it, the Black Theater at an AMC, The Dolby Cinema experience is better than IMAX.
What?
100% agree. 100,000% agree.
Okay, number one, that's not a mathematical possibility.
100,000% is a real percent.
It is not. Nope. I mean, it is a. It is sure. Okay, you can't agree more than 100%.
Something by that, but
I just think we should stop this podcast. I can't do it anymore. All right, we can't just be making up percentages. So how? Why do you both think that? I don't understand how you say that.
Because I feel the movie as much as I see the movie. In IMAX, the score is really great, but I just don't have that shake my ass experience in an IMAX theater, even though the picture is much larger. And I truly feel like IMAX got dumbed down when they started making more IMAX formats, because if you're going to experience an IMAX movie, it has to be on the traditional 70 millimeter screen, mm-hmm. which there are very few of those left in existence in the United States. So if you give me a 70 millimeter IMAX with a Dolby Cinema sound, that experience would be epic. But unfortunately, don't have it. So I settle for the AMC Prime because I like my ass to move.
Sound matters.
Sound matters as much as pictures.
Mm-hmm. You'd fit in prison.
And you get both. You get both really good sound and really good picture.
So you're both on
and
plat.
The seats are always
super nice.
Why are
you yelling
nice.
At me? Calm down.
Sorry, because the seats are so nice.
I guess.
They're so much better.
I take this back. The part of the Black Theater AMC seats is that they have the two seats next to each other with the armrests in the middle. Mm-hmm. So if you want to snuggle up with your person, like, then you put the armrest up and then you recline the seats, the armrest is in the way.
Yeah, that is annoying.
The armrest should recline with the seat.
I agree with that. That's a weird. Yeah. Weird thing to stake a claim in. This is better because my armrest goes back. But hey,
well, that's the
comfort.
Problem. The IMAX theater. I talked about this with the daughter last night. The IMAX theater. She walked out of the theater because the IMAX theater does not have reclinable seats. They try to squeeze in as many seats as possible in those theaters because of the size of the screen and their standard chairs with a cup holder in the armrest. And so you're like, you're always touching the cup during the movie and you can't put your feet up and you can't stretch out.
Yeah. If I'm going out to a movie, I need to be extremely comfortable, extremely comfortable.
Fully reclined with the blanket.
Oh my God.
Popcorn in my lap.
You're so ridiculous.
He's so bougie.
All right. Here's mine that it's funny because I've had so many, you know, I've talked that I hate The Shining and I'll talk about another one in a minute. And, you know, I've had so many opinions over the years where people have disagreed with me completely. But the one I've gotten the most flack for, and this is true, is that I will swear on my deathbed, Red Vines are 10 times as delicious as Twizzlers.
And you are 10 times wrong.
See?
He is 10 times correct.
Yeah, there we go. There's
ew!
I'll go eat some Red Vines
they
next to you
like
and Dolby.
Plastic.
No. What do you think Twizzlers taste like? Styrofoam. Cardboard.
Happiness. Joy.
No.
Cherry.
There's zero flavor. There's no flavor.
There's cherry.
In terms of artificial chemicals, I really want more flavor, and there's none there. Ugh. Nope. Can't do it.
Completely disagree.
I got kicked out of a group once because I said that.
Rightfully so.
I mean, I might have said other things when people were arguing with me, but still, the point holds. Okay, so what's your what historically popular show have you never understood what people see in it?
I'll get a divorce for this one, but Parks and Recreation just can't do it. I don't know what it. Every time I try to sit down and watch, I got to the first season and I just can't.
I'm with you.
I watched The Office. I don't need another episode. I don't need another Office. It's what it felt like. Maybe they should have taken some space and time between the two shows.
Disagree, but I respect your opinion.
It was a heavy sigh. I agree with you. So I tried it. It didn't work for me.
Wah, wah, wah.
I don't know if it's just too quirky.
I will say it took me a little while to get into it. Like, I actually skipped the first season.
This is where we hear about, if you started season two, you'll be good.
No, actually, truly. And I've actually had multiple people agree that they had a similar experience or that's what they recommend to people.
And I heard people say, like, the second season onward, they did change the kind of format concept of the show a little bit more to get away from The Office because they were hearing that feedback.
Mm-hmm. It has the Breaking Bad effect.
That's fine.
Mine is Seinfeld. Ugh.
Love Seinfeld.
I don't find it that funny.
I love Seinfeld.
I do not. It's about nothing. I just never have.
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah, I feel that. I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious it's about nothing. I mean, if you don't find it funny, I think that sense of humor is very, very specific. That's what I would say. It's pretty specific.
It's pretty lame.
Jerry and George are basically Aaron and I.
Just talking horribly about people. Shame on us. See, Amanda, you could be Elaine. There's room for an Elaine. Nobody wants to be Kramer.
No, they don't.
Mine is Friends. I've never liked Friends. I've tried and tried and tried. I don't dislike Friends. My wife loves Friends. Like, if it's on, she wants to watch it. And I just go in the other room because I want nothing to do with it. I just don't find it funny, except Chandler. And he's dead. So now I got no reason to listen.
You should watch it, like, in honor of his death.
Nope. That isn't enough.
I'm surprised you went there. I thought you were going to say the other one that's very similar to that show.
How I Met Your Mother?
Yep.
No, because I don't really know that many people that... I mean, I know people that love it, obviously, but everybody hates the ending. So I don't think it's revered as much because of that. So,
got it.
Okay. We're going to move on. But first, in the near future, a detective stands on trial accused of murdering his wife, and he has 90 minutes to prove his innocence to the advanced AI judge, who's played by Rebecca Ferguson, by the way. Judge me. A judge he once championed before it determines his fate. Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson star in the high-tech action thriller Mercy, which is now available on 4K, Blu-ray, and DVD. And I happened to see this when it came out in January. This is actually, I didn't know much about the movie, right? And I thought, well, this is just Minority Report. It's not. There's a lot more to it, and especially a lot going on with AI, and it kind of like goes through the whole, I mean, it's almost like a real-time adventure in many respects as he tries to solve this crime. I thought it was a great ride. I really enjoyed the hell out of Mercy. So I would definitely recommend it.
But it's not a War of the Worlds.
No.
Screen camera kind of concept. Or no. She has to be in the computer.
No, I mean, he's in the chair for most of the movie, pleading his case. And I love Rebecca Ferguson as the AI because she's just doing such a, you know, she obviously doesn't have a ton of facial tics, but every time she has one, it means something. Like she's given a really layered performance. I thought it was actually excellent.
All right.
And it's just him trying to prove his case, but he's also able to negotiate and work with the outside world in different aspects. So it really worked. I liked it a lot. Okay. So name a great movie by most accounts that you think is just fine.
Every Avatar movie made to date.
There's two.
There's three.
See, I didn't even, the third one's so average, I forgot about it.
They're all average. Don't get me wrong. I know visually it's stunning. It's wonderful. The first one had Michelle Rodriguez. And honestly, that's what got me to watch it. Other than that, I thought it was so meh.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Okay.
I just didn't care.
I think it's fair. That's a fair one.
Okay.
I'll give you mine before Troy throws his out. The Godfather. It's fine.
Yep.
It's fine.
It's another one.
Don't think it's brilliant. Don't think it's one of the best movies ever made. Don't think maybe it did change cinema, but it didn't change mine. I watched it. I'm not a big mob movie guy, I'll be honest, but it's just fine.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Oh, I'm so with you. I would say it's terrible.
It is a fantastic film. It has so much to say, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I got through it.
It's fine, I guess, but I really don't like it.
These were good picks.
Yeah. I'm not a Kubrick fan, so, you know, I'm probably not the guy.
You haven't seen Eyes Wide Shut then?
I have seen Eyes Wide Shut. It's still a nich. Nope. Didn't like it. Although it seemed like a proper representation of Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise's marriage.
For sure.
So there's that.
Ouch.
For sure.
I said seemed, Amanda. I didn't claim it was true. All right. We're going to do a speed round now, and this is going to be overrated or underrated. Okay, you don't have to go into a 14-minute dissertation. Just, are these shows overrated or underrated? You guys ready?
C.
Okay, The Bear.
Over.
Over now, but I feel like it started under.
Well, that's interesting.
No, I still say over. It was good. It's good. It's enjoyable. It's not like, woo, best thing ever.
I say overrated, especially as a comedy. Jesus. Avatar.
The movie.
Yes, and I think we know where Amanda stands. But,
yep. My stance on it is that the first one is underrated. I think the first one is really, really a great story, and you feel a lot of emotion. The next two are just cookie-cutter Hollywood with good visuals.
Don't tell me how to feel.
So overrated on 2 and 3.
I think overrated all the way. Dances with Smurfs doesn't work for me. Euphoria.
That's funny.
Euphoria.
Can't say until we see the current season that's about to air. Mm. But at this point, I'd still say underrated.
Under.
Really?
Yep.
I think this next season's going to like blow shit up, and it's going to be like way epic.
I'm so curious if this is going to maintain the momentum that it's had, especially after so much time.
I got to give it another shot. I'll give it another shot.
It's good. It's dark, though. Don't get me wrong. It is dark.
I was going to say over, but you guys are selling me I'm going to give it another shot. So we'll hold. I'll pass. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Ooh, over or under?
Underrated through Endgame. After Endgame, way overrated.
That is really good.
But as a whole?
As a whole, it's fine. It's fine.
It's rated appropriately.
Yeah, I think at this point, I'm going to have to lean toward over. Because, I mean, they peaked already.
They did peak. Yeah.
I don't know. Doomsday could save it all.
We'll see. All right, Amanda, pick one. Movie or TV show for us.
Insidious.
The horror movie?
Mm-hmm.
Overrated. Not a fan.
Overrated.
I would agree. A lot of people called it Insidious, though. So for a long time, that's what? How I said it in my head. Yeah.
That's funny.
Insidious.
That's funny. Okay. All right. Troy, what about you?
Battlestar Galactica 2004 edition.
Oh.
Is this a bad time to tell you that I haven't
seen it? Nope. It's probably a perfect time.
You couldn't have picked
a better time.
Because you should see it.
I will say underrated. I know it's actually well revered, but a lot of people nitpick on that last season and especially the final episode. And I think it all works pretty well. So, yeah, I think it's underrated.
I'm going to have to take a look-see.
It's got some cool twists, man. There's a few shockers in there.
Few shockers.
That was fun. All right, we're coming up near the end, kids. We're almost there. Character swap. So each of us takes a serious dramatic actor and drops them into a ridiculous action movie, or takes a comedic actor and throws them into a really dark movie. I'll give you my two examples. Ian McKellen is now the lead of Speed. So he's in charge of making sure that bus slows down. Can you imagine?
I can, actually.
Can you imagine Ian McKellen climbing under the bus to check the bomb?
When did this movie come out with him in it?
Well, it would have been, what, early 2000s?
So the same time period. It's not late 90s? It's not current day.
No.
Okay.
No, you got like it would just be Ian McKellen. So it'd be a younger version, but he's been 100 for like 50 years.
So it'd be like Count Dooku getting behind the wheel.
Yeah, right? Right?
You're so wrong.
You got to keep the bus above 50. Or he's like, thou shall not pass. I don't know. That's just mine. And my comedy version would be 90s Jim Carrey is now Brad Pitt's character in Seven. And I'm thinking like Ace Ventura Jim Carrey.
Oh, my good Lord.
What's in the box? I just think that would be hilarious. Okay, those are mine. What do you guys got?
I went with Cillian Murphy in National Lampoon's Vacation.
Jesus, that would be so dour.
Well, here's the
thing. And you know he'd kill everybody at that park.
Here's the thing, though. Cillian Murphy was nominated for a Golden Globe for Breakfast on Pluto, which is a comedy. And he's pretty comedic in that. So, yes, most people do know him as a dramatic actor, but he could pull off some comedy chops.
I'd watch it.
I went with Sir Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay.
In Pineapple Express.
Get the fuck out of here. Can you imagine Daniel Day-Lewis? I mean, you know he would get so in character, he'd actually go sell drugs. He'd be on the street corner, and he gets busted by the cop. What are you doing here? I'm sorry, but I need to get the research. I don't know what accent I'm doing, but I need to get research from Pineapple Express. Yes. Smoke this blunt.
Smoke this blunt. Stay alive. Smoke this blunt.
And if you're high, God.
Even if I'm high, I will find you.
He prepares for it by hanging out with Cheech and Chong and Snoop Dogg. He's like, I need you to help me.
Smoke my weed. Okay, these are great films. I would watch all of them. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
All right. All right, so One Hit Wonder. What show has disappointed you the most with their heroes or Westworld-like journey, meaning they never recovered from the brilliance of their first season and you just couldn't get into the rest of the series? Aha.
I don't know if it's the most disappointed I've ever been, but one that came to mind is Riverdale. I remember really liking the first season, and I think I still liked and maintained into the second one, but I did not stay with the show, and I just got over it pretty quick.
You and I dropped at the same place. I did not start season three.
Yeah.
Oh, Riverdale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that first season was great, too.
It was.
It really was, yeah. I'm with you. That's a good...
But I couldn't pick that one because I started season two. So I had two.
Well, I thought it was like you just couldn't... You weren't feeling rest of the series.
Yeah, you could pick it. It's like it had a great first season and then you just couldn't get back into it for whatever your reason, or it just didn't live up to it.
Hit you the same. Yeah.
These had great first seasons, and just I could not even go past the first season. But House of the Dragon...
Really? Still.
Hmm. I've tried.
Wow. It is not the same, though. I did a Game of Thrones rewatch before rewatching House of the Dragon, and I tried to go straight from one into the other, and it does not hit the same.
Mm-mm. No. Night of the Seven Kingdoms, so much better. Also, Good Place.
What?
I got to the end of the first season. I was like, cool reveal, bro. What now? And just couldn't get back
really
into it.
Oh, it's really good.
What the fork? Why that one?
I felt the quirkiness of it all was just really hitting on all strides in that first season. And then it's like, I don't need any more of this. I'm good. And then they try to milk it.
As they do, right?
As they do.
I'll give you a weird one that I really enjoyed the first season and it just didn't work for me. But Sleepy Hollow. I really liked that show a lot.
Oh.
In the first season. And then it just got stupid. And I just couldn't get into it. I thought the first season literally was brilliant. It was just a really interesting plot. And then it just fell apart. I mean, there's a lot of shows like that. I mean, I think Prodigal Son's probably one of them. You know, that's another one. Or The Following had a really good first season. Sometimes shows just need to just be a one and done, you know? And that
disclaimer,
was
Aaron was paid to review that show.
Sleepy Hollow? That's right, I was. Yeah. I forgot about that. For TV Talk.
Jeez, that's how we met.
Yeah, that is. Wow. But I forgot about that show part of it. I forgot about that show being part of it.
I quit. I
forgot about that show being part of it.
He just shit on all of your relationship, to be honest.
No,
Troy left. He's abandoned.
I did not.
I mean, you shit on the root of it.
So cold. Good call. Well, then you should have saw that coming. It shouldn't be a surprise. That's all. Jesus. All right, so it's April, and we're way past April 1st, but we're still going to play this game. It's called April Fools. So give us a movie or TV show that completely fooled you into giving it a whole season, not just a few episodes, and you kept hoping it would get better, but it never did.
I'll reiterate, House of the Dragon. I suffer watched that whole first season.
You suffer watched it?
Yeah. it'll pick up. It'll be Game of Thrones. I'm sure they got a cohesive story going on here. No.
Okay. Fair enough. It's going to be weird, but last week tonight with John Oliver, I watch it every week. I only like 10 minutes of it. And I don't know why.
You know that 10 minutes you can just get on YouTube. That's where I watch it now.
I really could. But I mean for like his whole run. What is he on? Been like 8 years. If I watch it, I'll watch like the first like 10 minutes of it and then I don't care about anything after that. It's just I just don't find it good. I think it's overreaching. It's too political, or not too political, but it's too way slanted one direction. You know, there's never any self-reflection whatsoever. And it's just, you know, I just can't get into it. So it's weird that I still watch it, though. It's like I have to be informed as much as I can, and I don't understand why I do it to myself. Amanda?
I'm going to say one, and I feel like you're both going to get upset based on what I recall your feelings were of the show.
Okay.
But I can't remember 100%. Heroes.
I love the first season.
Wait. So this is saying...
You didn't like it at all.
You didn't like the first season at all. Because you just hate watch the first season versus the last question, the one hit wonder, would be more where heroes would fall.
I see.
Because you like the first season. If you like the first season, it would be the previous question, the one hit wonder.
Okay, well then here, I have another one. Okay. And this one is actually going to make way more people upset with me.
Okay, let's do that.
And I want to preface it.
Let's get angry.
Good, I'm glad we have an army behind us now, Aaron, instead of just me and you.
I want to preface this. It's ironic that you say that, actually. I want to preface this by saying, despite that I did not watch the show, it never got better for me. I still kept up with the spoilers online and sometimes watched those episodes just to stay in the know of cooler conversations, and that's for The Walking Dead.
You never liked it?
I tried so hard because of, oh my gosh, Norman Reedus. That was the entire reason why I was even interested in watching it. But I just, it's so, it drags so far for me. I can't, my attention is just too distracted. I felt like it was boring at times. But when they did have really cool moments or interesting stories that I was like, oh, okay. So I kept up with the story online. I read spoilers. And at times I would watch like the end of season episode, the finale, right? Like I would watch those episodes here and there just to keep up with it for society.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so give us the ending that fooled you the most. You can take that however you want.
I am going to go with a recent one where I was convinced I had everything 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not.
You did not.
I did not. His and hers.
That's a good example. Yeah.
A great example.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think everybody who's watched it thought that they had everything figured out, and then they get to the last moments of the episode and you're like, wait, what? And everything adds up. It makes sense. It's not even one of those endings where it's like, how did you get here? You can't even be mad because you're like, dang, you did that too good.
That's an excellent one. Mine is, I don't even want to tell you what, I don't want to say it because I really, if you've never seen this, you need to experience it for yourself. And that's Old Boy from 2003. It's still one of the most...
Oh, my God.
Fuck my life endings.
Wow.
I've ever seen. And it's just like, I didn't see that coming. Not even a little. Not even a little bit. You got me.
Nope.
You got
that
me.
That is a great example. That is a great example.
And I will tell you, you can watch the is it Korean? I think it's Korean. Whatever nationality it is. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I apologize. But it's an Asian film. And... the ending is phenomenal, and it works on the U.S. version. There's an American version too that works, but doesn't work nearly as well.
Nah, go with the OG.
Yeah, go with the OG.
It's South Korean.
Yeah, and I thank you. And I don't want to say, I really don't want to say what it is because I just you have to
don't
experience
say anything.
It. No, but once you when you get to the end, I promise you, if you say, well, I guess that bullshit. I call absolute and total bullshit. I don't see any way someone could have guessed how that ended. Even though they do give you all the seats. Like, it's all there. It's not. It works. I wish it didn't.
Go I wish watch it, didn't. It.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Old Boy's phenomenal. Trey, what do you got?
I picked up one movie and one TV show. The TV show I picked was How I Met Your Mother.
The terrible ending?
Well, yeah.
I guess you a fool for watching it.
It definitely fooled you.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Okay. Fair enough.
Is that what this has been all the time? What? And then the movie was Unbreakable.
Now, see, that's an excellent one.
I got to the end and I was like, yep. Oh shit. This was what this movie was about the whole time. Damn. I'm in.
Love that. Give us a movie or TV show that you feel only a fool would enjoy.
Is this like a good thing or a bad thing? I don't understand.
What I'd like to do is challenge yourselves to not name anything you name every single week. That's what I would like to do.
Because you only got to be a fool to watch Grey's Anatomy. Picked up for another season, motherfucker. Son of a bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Why?
Why do you do it to yourself?
Live, I'm a fool.
That's fair. Fool. I think it fits. Mine is The Green Knight. I know I've said it before, but I think you have to be a fool. And every time someone says, I love The Green Knight, I said, then something's wrong with you. Like, it's a shit movie. It's a terrible, terrible movie. Be better. Love yourself better. Love your eyes better. Love your soul better.
Sounds like an adder commercial.
And that
side effects
might
yeah, What's that?
In that vein of things, then yeah, I will go with old. M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
Sure. There you go. That's a good one.
You're a fool. It fooled you to think that it was good.
No, we did that earlier. We did that earlier. Well, you could do it either way. Well, it's your definition.
Look, you will age watching that movie. That's how bad it
ba-dum, is. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that sucked.
I did not like it. You're a fool if you watch it.
Wes Anderson is always trying to Wes Anderson himself. Like, out Wes Anderson. Like, stop with your Wes Anderson-ing.
The only director whose name starts with Wes that I love ends with Craven.
Aw, he did.
Well, yeah, but I still love him.
And his movies are still better now than Wes Anderson's. Yeah. I said it. He's a very specific taste. I don't understand it.
You either like it or you don't.
Not mine. My palate hasn't acclimated.
Agreed. Mine either. Well, that's it. And that's it. And I think we had fun. I think it was fun, right? Oh, yeah. No, we've got a little bit more, I guess. Oops, my bad. But hang on. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcast. And once you sign up, you get immediate access to the content in your respective tier. We have a South by Southwest Uncut episode up there, and I hope you enjoy that. And if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Now, we don't have any reviews this week.
The most important part. This is how we get paid part.
That's right. That's how it pays for the show to be on.
And there are 20 extra minutes in that South by Southwest uncut. So it is worth paying a few bucks to get that extra 20 minutes.
Look at you. You looked at the timestamps.
I sure did.
I'm proud.
Did you listen?
I sure did.
Aww.
Was it worth supporting the show on Patreon?
At least $5.
Okay. Oof, that's good. All right. So what you guys been watching? Anything you want to talk about? Any TV shows? You know, we've got a bunch that we've talked about in recent times, but anything new you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, we mentioned the MCU, so it only makes sense that we finish the Disney loop and talk about Darth Maul. Yes. Okay.
Is that the animated show?
The animated show. It dropped. It's here. It takes place in the year 18 BBY. So it is just after the third movie. And takes place long before Solo, because Solo happens in BBY 10. So this is the start of the Crimson Syndicate, if you will, and why Darth Maul is mad at the Empire and why he's trying to get back at them.
So
and the first two episodes are good.
So it's not after he was cut in half.
It's after Clone Wars. So Clone Wars season 7, then this would start.
And I saw it got renewed already for season 2. So it's coming back already.
It's good. It's fun. Okay. It's a good time. It's like a gangster movie, like rival gangsters, like going up against each other.
Ah.
And Darth Maul is trying to get the other gangsters to take each other out. So that way Darth Maul can own all the syndicates under one banner and then use them to go against the Empire.
All right. What else you got?
I also checked out Friends and Neighbors season 2 returned. Just recently picks up right after the end of season 1, a couple months later.
And this has James Marsden in it, right?
Like James Marsden is now here, and James Marsden is doing all the James Marsden things, and I love it.
Yeah, I love him. So talented.
I mean, Ham is still good, and of course, Olivia Munn's still there, and Amanda Peet, and all the favorites are back. So definitely check it out. It's a great show. It's your, what do you want to call it, mature version of Desperate Housewives.
Is that... It feels like an oxy. It feels redundant or an oxymoron. I don't know what it is, but is that a thing that can happen? A mature version of Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, because Housewives probably would have had way more sex if it wasn't on network TV.
That's probably true. They're going to remake that at some point. I guarantee it.
It did. It's called reality TV.
All right, Amanda, what do you got?
There is a fairly quick to watch. It's like an hour and a half or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A documentary called The Truth and Tragedy of Mariah Wilson. It is on Netflix.
Is this the biker or runner?
Yes, she's like this super notable cyclist and kind of like an award winner. And she ends up, spoiler alert, ends up getting murdered. And this is about who was the culprit of her murder. And, you know, just a very traditional
true crime
documentary. Yeah. But I liked that it was pretty succinct and they get emotion out of you pretty quickly, because then I was like, oh, this is actually really sad and also crazy. was a little bit crazy.
I was debating watching that one. So yeah. I'm glad you're raving.
It was good. I liked it.
All right. I'll check it out because it's cycling. Was it a BMW that took her out in the bike lane?
Jesus. No, it was a serial killer who was targeting cyclists who had fatty livers. It's a weird
it's a weird specificity.
Yeah. Some bitch.
They catch him. Don't worry about it. All right, so I got two I want to mention, and one is Scarpetta, which is on Prime, and I alluded to it earlier. It's based off the Patricia Cornwell books. My mom was a huge fan of those books. She read them all, and so she recommended I watch the show, and I remember her telling me about the character, and you know, it doesn't really seem like the same character, but and some fans are kind of they feel like Nicole Kidman doesn't really capture the character. But thankfully, I'm not a book fan, so I get to watch it as a show. So I'm going to tell you my thoughts on it as just the show I watched. So she's a forensic pathologist who uses forensic technology to solve crimes, and it's basically the show. The first season, at least, is it's all out there. And it's following a serial killer case, and they seem very connected to a case from 25 years ago, her first case that set her on her own path. So it's kind of like her career-setting case. And throughout the course of the series, you know, you get to know more about a relationship. So she's Kate Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman is, Jamie Lee Curtis is her sister, Dorothy, and you have Simon Baker is her husband, Benton, who's also an FBI agent, who's also working on a case that may or may not be connected. And you have Bobby Cannavale, who plays Pete Marino, who is her former homicide detective and also her partner in this. And then you get the younger versions of those characters as well, which was an interesting dynamic because it's kind of like watching Dexter Original Sin within Dexter. It was weird because it was every episode. And I actually like Rosie McEwen's interpretation of Kate Scarpetta better than Nicole Kidman's, if that tells you anything. So what do I think of the show overall? I watched all 8 episodes. I was invested. I will say the first 6, I was much more invested. The last 2 episodes became so much more about the characters and whatever weird shit was going on in their lives, including Ariana DeBose is in here too, by the way, as Lucy, Dorothy's daughter, who Kay raised. And I love Ariana DeBose. I think she doesn't get enough to do here. But again, we start getting into like just a bunch of relationship drama that just starts dragging the show down at the end. The last two episodes in particular, I just think kind of derailed the entire show. I was into the show until the last 2 episodes. Now there's a kind of a cliffhanger ending. They are doing season 2. It's already been renewed, and it's enough to make me come back. I'll definitely come back. But I do think that, number one, Nicole Kidman kind of gives a very dry performance. I don't think she's doing anything different that she hasn't done in every 15 of the shows she's done in the last 5 years. Jamie Lee Curtis actually goes a little too far in her craziness in this one. She's just a little too out there and loud, but she's still entertaining. You know, I think Nicole Kidman's kind of boring. I actually like Bobby Cannavale the most in this cast, and I normally don't like Bobby Cannavale. I don't think it says a lot for the show. Like, if $10 is the full price of admission, I would give this one a 5. And it was a good 7 for a good portion of it. But man, it just fell apart at the end. And they come back. I don't really want to revisit the old stuff. I want to keep moving forward. And I also want to get away from the relationship crap because it's just not working in this particular show. It can absolutely work in certain shows. It's just not working here. So it either needs to be written better or just left on the sidelines. So that's Scarpetta. The other show I want to mention, and I'm going to tell you this up front, because those of you that know my love for Kurt Russell knows no bounds. I even just rewatched Breakdown just recently. Great, great film. Yes, he's in The Madison. No, he's not in it long. So this is not a review of Kurt Russell being existent. Okay. This is really Michelle Pfeiffer. What it is about, they're a family in New York. Kurt Russell and Michelle Pfeiffer are married, and he often goes away to Montana once a week to be with his brother. And there's an accident, and unfortunately, she needs to deal with her husband's death. And so she, a New Yorker, her kids are New Yorkers, their whole family are just like, they live in the city. It's all the bustling of the city. And so they go to Montana because that's where he died, and they want to kind of, she in particular wants to understand her husband for the first time in a way she never has, because he's always loved this and he wishes he had more of it. And she needs to understand why this is so special to him. And so it's her coming to know her husband in a different way, even though they had a wonderful marriage and raised a couple of beautiful kids. I find this to be one of the most impactful stories about grief I've ever watched. I was moved every single episode. Troy, I know you're a This Is Us fan. It's like that times 10. I mean, I just feel like they really nail what grief is like. And when you lose someone and how you want to understand them and how you miss them and how hard it is to let them go and the misses that we take in life, like we just ignore who people are. We're not listening to them. We're too busy focused on our own busy lives and not taking account of the things that we should be cherishing about the people in our lives that we love, like that sort of thing. Like, it's a really beautiful story and it's on Paramount Plus. And I was just in awe of how well it was being told, because it's a Taylor Sheridan show. I've never seen anything that he's written that approached this level of quality. I think it's the best thing he's ever done. It's just fantastic. So I can't rave about the Madison enough.
Well, that's one to check out.
It is. Okay, sound like you checked out a while ago. Probably when I started talking, roughly.
It's usually what happens.
Jesus.
Stop talking.
We know Amanda doesn't listen to you. You don't even care about our relationship when it started. So
I know. Who's this? How's your liver? How's the GoFundMe? You picking up the cash yet?
No, you forgot about that part too, because you just said, don't subscribe on Patreon. It's okay. We'll skip that part.
Troy doesn't get a liver now. Nice job, people.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Well, thanks everybody for being here. Do you guys want to say anything before we close out? Because I'm listening. I care what you have to say.
Be good to each other.
Hurry the hell up. Let's go. What?
Be good to each other.
Oh, all right. That's actually pretty nice. I shouldn't have cut you off.
We need more of it because, you know, people just yell at the world.
The world is on fire and it's going to burn anyway. So be nice. I like that.
The roof is on fire. The world is on fire. Same lyric. Same beat. Different results. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And remember, the next time you head to a theater and watch something in Dolby Digital versus IMAX, or stream comfortably on your couch with hopefully a Dolby Digital.
Dolby Atmos for sound receiver. Yes, yes, yes. Don't have IMAX at home.
Why not? Buy popcorn. And red vines, because Twizzlers suck. They just suck.
Cookie dough bites.
Those are pretty good.
Especially with the popcorn. You do like couple kernels, then you do a cookie dough bite. And when they're frozen, oh my gosh.
I got the Harry Potter popcorn, by the way, Amanda.
How was it?
At the Costco.
How was it?
Delicious. It's butter. What is it? Butter beer?
Butter beer.
Mm. Tastes just like butter beer. I had it when I went to Hogwarts. Or was it a?
You couldn't even remember what the school's name was for a second. You had to question it.
Well, I couldn't remember. Was it Hogwarts or did I have a wart removed? Where was I?
How many shots did you do this episode?
Not enough. Gonna do 10 more. Bye.